This church, it's great to see you. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done."
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, through every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, and happy Father's Day. I'm sure you've had the opportunity to thank your father. And if you haven't, if your father is no longer here on earth, you can thank your heavenly father. And so I want to welcome you this morning. It is great that we have our Heavenly Father, who shows us how to be dads, who shows each and every one of us what a father is like. And so today, as we come to Father's Day, we first and foremost, we worship our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, and just give him the praise. And so, you know, one of the things that I notice as we kind of set the theme and the stage this morning, I notice that men are often very discouraged about their role as a dad, or maybe you're not a father, discouraged about the role as a man, and it's a difficult time for men sometimes to understand even who we are and what our responsibilities are. But I have to tell you, there's great encouragement in God's Word, great encouragement that we have a father who loves us and shows us how to be men and how to follow him. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, may your name be kept holy. In each of our lives, Father, we would ask that you would help us to worship you above all. Father, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we pray that you would help us in our church, in our families, in our homes, married, single, that we would worship you above all and do your will without hesitation. So, Father, we lift up your name today. We ask that you would give us today our physical needs that we have. We are needy people. Father, I pray that you would help us to forgive those who sin against us Father, we would ask that you would forgive us as we sin against you. Father, I pray that as our Lord Jesus prayed, that you would help us not to be led or overrun by temptation. I pray that you would help us to resist the wiles of Satan, his schemes. And Father, we would ask that your name would be lifted up in our lives. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm going to ask you to stand again. If you're able to do that, we're going to focus on our Heavenly Father. Let's sing together the King of Kings.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from the throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father. Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my deepest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn. In your everlasting life, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me in the dawn. In your pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your ever-living love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. All my hopes, all I need, held in your hands. All my life, all of me, held in your hands. All my fears, all my dreams, held in your hands. All my hopes, all I need, held in your hands. All my life, all of me, held in your hands. All my fears, all my dreams, held in your hands. In your everlasting arms, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you.
Sing about the hope we have in our Heavenly Father. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of thankful for the hope that we have in Christ, that He is our solid rock.
There in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, walk with the precious one of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Thank you.
You may be seated.
I so appreciate the words of that song. As our enemy Satan seeks to accuse us and seeks to debilitate, in Christ alone, our hope is found. So today, as we think of Father's Day, when I come to both Father's Day and Mother's Day, I have certain just responses that just automatically come every year. You know, at Mother's Day, I just have a sense of deep appreciation for what mothers do and the sacrifices that mothers make. And I believe it is right and fitting to do as Proverbs 31 says, rise up and call her blessed, to praise her in the sense of honoring her. When it comes to Father's Day, I have a little different response. I appreciate fathers and so on, but being a father myself, I have a sense of a bond with other men. And even if you're not a father today, I have a bond in a sense. I look around and I see men today, and I know that guys who want to walk with the Lord are kind of, I'm going to say it, gutting it out, maybe, you know, wrestling and struggling, because in today's society, it seems like it's difficult for men to understand the role that they play. And I have a sense of a bond. And I want to say to you guys today that from our passage today in Genesis 27, you have blessings to give. You've got blessings to give. Our world says today, nobody's listening to what you fathers or men have to say. Nobody's listening. And what you're going to see from this passage today, that is even in a time of idolatry like Genesis, today in our day of idolatry, we still have blessings to give. We have things to say. We have an influence to play. We can bless those around us. So I begin today with General Douglas MacArthur, one of our nation's greatest military leaders. And when I think of men, I always think of battle, because that's what this is, in part. During the days of World War II, MacArthur was forced to leave the Philippines, which left many American soldiers and Philippine locals struggling against the marauding Japanese forces. But as he was leaving, MacArthur said the famous words, "I shall return." And 2 years later, he held that vow, and under his command, Allied forces landed on and liberated the Philippines. He was known for his boldness and for his courage. He was awarded, you might not know this, he was awarded the Medal of Honor for acts of valor on the field of battle. But what you might also not know was that his father led the way in boldness and courage in the Civil War. He was a general in the Civil War in the 1800s. His father also received the Medal of Honor. So here you have Douglas MacArthur and his father, both the first father-son duo to ever both receive the Medal of Honor. 1942, Douglas MacArthur received a very special award of a different kind from the National Father's Day Committee. And in his acceptance speech, he said this, and I quote, "By profession, I am a soldier, and I take great pride in that fact. But I am infinitely more proud to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build. A father only builds. A soldier has the potential for death. The other, the father, embodies creation and life. It is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me not for the battle, but in the home." Guys, I think that's a powerful statement for us. I think our nation needs men of boldness and courage, a gentle mix between standing up and fighting for what's right, and also being able to gently deal with our children and our wives, and even if you're not married, as a man, to protect and deal gently with those around you who need you. Fathers make a contribution into the lives of their children that no one else can make in quite the same way. It's easier to check out than to step in. It's easier to walk away from all of the responsibility and all of the expectations. It's easier to walk away. Anybody can do that. But the man of God wants to step in and to bless those around him. And so what I want to say to fathers this morning and to men, do not underestimate the influence that you have and will always have, particularly with fathers, in the lives of your children. Your kids are out of the home, you still have an influence. So in your Bibles, in Genesis chapter 27, if you haven't turned there yet, if you would, we see a father and his sons struggling deeply. We see Isaac, who believes, for some reason, we don't know why, but he believes that his time has come to pass away. Could be because he appears to be blind or very close to blind. He has maybe can't taste and smell certain things the way he used to. We're going to see that in the text. But we see Isaac believes his time to come, his time to die has come, and he's blessing his sons. Now, what Isaac doesn't know is that he still has a long time left to live. In fact, here in Genesis 27, he's probably around 137 years old, if you do the math of his timeline and compare his life to various others in the text. But he doesn't die until he's 180 years old. So unbeknownst to Isaac, here he acts like he's on his deathbed, and maybe he had an illness that made him think that. I don't know. But he doesn't know it. He has over 40 years left to live. And so he's seeking to put his house in order, to pass on to his sons, who gets what. But what he does not understand is the influence that he will have. And these sons and his wife and families and descendants to come will live what he does in this text and what his sons do. Now you'll find one word in various forms repeated over and over in this chapter. And Moses, the human author of Genesis 27, is trying to get in our minds that this is about blessing. Because the word bless or blessing or some form of those words occur at least 17 times in this chapter, and 18 if you include chapter 28, verse 1. So here you have two sons, Jacob and Esau, stridently competing to get the blessing of their father. Jacob is willing to deceive for the blessing of his father. Esau is willing to kill for it. You mix all of that together with a mother who's scheming and a father who he's kind of aware of what's going on, but he's kind of oblivious too. He's kind of disconnected. He kind of knows some of the motivations of his sons, but he's disconnected and he's going about this in a way that was not the norm. Now, the blessing in Old Testament times was kind of a big deal. Today, before we die, what do? We write out a will and we say, these assets are going to go to this daughter and this son, or divided up evenly amongst, or however we write a last will and testament. But in Old Testament times, before a father passed away, he'd gather his children together. We see it in Genesis 49, kind of the quintessential way of giving a blessing. As Jacob, later in life, gathers all of his sons together, and he names them one by one by name, and he passes out a blessing. And some of them aren't so blessing. But in Old Testament times, that's how it was done. It was kind of like reading the will, kind of. As the dying patriarch passed out the inheritance, this son gets this, that son gets that, this son has this role to play in the family, that son has a subservient role to play. So yeah, the blessing is a big deal. But here in Genesis 27, something goes way wrong. And so here's what I want to do for you this morning. First of all, I want to read through the text, and it is lengthy, but I think it's important for us to get it. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but a good portion of it. And I want to explain, read it portion by portion and pause and then explain a little bit of what we just read and then go on to the next section. And then I want to show you two of the best blessings that a father can pass on to his children. You ready for that? Now, I'm going to give you a warning ahead of time, guys. I'm going to give you a little method. I call it the pie method for how you can reconnect with your family. It's going to be sandwiched right in the middle of this. And so you might want to get a pen and paper ready. You might want to have this in your wallet, put it in your truck, whatever, as you're driving home to reconnect with your family. But first, let's pray together. Our Father, as we come this morning We are fully aware of our inadequacies as fathers, but we're also joyfully aware of the strength that you give. And so, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help each man here to understand that we have blessings from you that we can give to our children, and some of those blessings to other people around us. Father, I pray for men here today who are not fathers. I pray for single men. I pray for married men. I pray that you would help us to understand what true masculinity is, that it's not just physical strength or looking a certain way, but it's what's going on in our hearts and minds. Father, I pray that you would take your word, give us hope and instruction for life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let's look at Genesis 27, verses 1 through 4. This sets the stage of what happens to follow. Genesis 27, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold now, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." And so what we have here is Isaac, who should be gathering the sons and the family together and passing out the blessing. He knows, or he thinks, it's time to pass away. Instead, though, he's privately blessing Esau before any of the rest of the family could ask questions or stop him. And we know that this was contrary to God's plan, and I believe Isaac knew it as well, because way back in chapter 26, God had made clear that Jacob would be the ruler over Esau. Even while Jacob and Esau were in the womb, God had spoken to Rebekah saying, "The youngest will rule over the oldest." And I am operating under the assumption that Rebekah passed that information on to Isaac, and I think that's a reasonable assumption. And Isaac, I believe, knew that God's plan was for the blessing of the largest portion of the inheritance to go to Jacob. But here you have Isaac planning to secretly pass on the blessing to Esau before anybody in the family gets word of it. Why? Because Esau was Isaac's favorite. And no one in this family trusts anybody. So Isaac is trying to bless Esau without others knowing it. Now listen, this is a recipe for disaster in our homes. And we're going to see how this plays out in Isaac's family. So let's go on. How does the story develop? Chapter 27, verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I have heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death.'" Now, what's going on here? The account, it makes it sound like Rebecca's kind of spying on Isaac. I don't know. Maybe she was just there and just heard the conversation. The feel you get is that she's kind of listening in on something she shouldn't be hearing. But however it happened, Rebecca's got a plan. Instead of trusting God to fulfill the blessing of chapter 26 and what God had said would happen with Jacob and Esau, she starts to scheme and manipulate and plot against Esau and contrary to her husband. Why does she do this? Well, Jacob is her favorite. Esau is Isaac's favorite. Jacob is Rebekah's favorite. And there's this appalling lack of trust and communication in this home. They're not trusting God. They're not trusting each other. They're taking matters into their own hands, going behind each other's backs. Do you see how these are the seeds These are the seeds for problems. I want you to think about your family for a second. Do you have trust in your home? Do you have communication? Do you do things behind each other's backs? Dads, I want to tell you, right now, today, you can take action if that's going on to reverse that. Now let's read on and see what happens. Let's jump down to verse 14. Jacob listens to his mother. Chapter 27, verse 14. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Now the timing of all of this has to be just right, because Esau is out hunting and he's a very good hunter. In fact, he's so good that Rebekah and Jacob can barely get their plot finished before Esau comes in. Now think about this. Rebekah, she's fixing this food. She knows what her husband likes and the savory food, and she knows that her husband will not be able to taste the difference between what she makes and what Esau makes. So let's see how this works out. Look at verse 18. Speaking of Jacob, so he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" He knows he's his son. He just doesn't know which one. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." How sick is that, to bring God into his lie? Verse 21. Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is of Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son, Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it nearer to me that I may eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Those are the words that Jacob has been longing to hear all of his life. Now understand, Jacob is probably about 70-something right now. He's not a young kid anymore. The text is sickening. Look at the mistrust. It goes back and forth. There's a game going. Isaac knows that Jacob wants the blessing, and so he's trying to be very cautious. He's suspicious. Jacob states one outright lie after another, and finally the deception works, and in verses 27 through 29, the blessings come spilling out. All the blessings that were given by God to Abraham, passed down to Isaac, are now passed down to Jacob. Jacob is now the patriarch of the family, the patriarch of the nation. He has material wealth. He has spiritual blessing. It's all Jacob's. Everything he's been wanting, he's finally gotten it. So how does this play out? Look at verse 30. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. So he said to them, "Is he well?" Excuse me, I went over two pages. So in verse 31, he also made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? I'm not going to read the whole blessing there, but let's jump down to verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. So for some reason, Isaac thinks he can go against God. He miscalculates his influence, the blessing that only he could give. And I think now that you understand a little bit of the passage this morning, I want to show you two of the best blessings that fathers can give their children. And as I do that, I'll explain a little more of what's going on in the text. Guys, we can do this. We can give these blessings. And you know what? These blessings can also be given by men to other people around them if you're not a father. First of all, the blessing of faith and awe in God. You know, friends, I have to tell you, I think this is the best blessing. The best blessing that a father can pass along. The blessing of faith and awe in God. Abraham passes his faith in God down to Isaac. Isaac passes his faith in God down to Jacob. And that's why so often throughout the Bible you read that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's awe is and reverence for God is being passed down from one father to his son to another. And one of the greatest blessings that we can give is this awe and reverence for God. And so fathers here today, let me ask you, are you passing down your faith? It doesn't happen just without your input. It doesn't just pass on down to your kids just because you say a few words and you say that you believe in Christ and you come to church. That's not passing down. That's the beginning of passing down your faith. Are you showing that Christ and the Christian life is the most joyful life, a life to be greatly desired above any other life that you can live? There are all kinds of pressures and all kinds of temptations, and we as fathers have to show the best life possible is we have a God in heaven who sent his son, and we can know God through Christ. There are many ways that you can do this. Talk about God with your children. That's Deuteronomy 6. Wherever you go, just when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up, talk about God. Maybe for some of us guys, that's the first most practical step is just start talking about God. When you go on a trip, ask God's blessing together as a family as you drive away from the house. When you get back to the house, thank God for the blessing. Pray with them. Sing songs with them. Sing the doxology. Sing Christ our hope in life and death. Sing all kinds of other songs as a family as you're driving down the road and turn on the radio. Ask yourself, what am I in awe of in front of my kids? Sure, we're in awe of our sports teams and our hobbies and those activities and our work maybe. But do you gloat in God? No matter how well or how poorly you feel you've done with this, today is a new day. That's in the past. And I know that fathers and mothers feel like they're failing sometimes. But you know what? I find a lot of encouragement in this passage. You know why? Because here in this passage, we see that even patriarchs struggle to pass down their faith. Isaac is struggling to model a life of faith in front of his own sons. What do I mean by that? Well, as I mentioned, God has already spoken to Isaac and Rebekah that Jacob will rule over Esau. It should have been clear who got the blessing. But you know what he's doing? He's struggling, Isaac is. Struggling to understand and walk by faith. Because, you know, in those days, it was the oldest who got the blessing. And Isaac is thinking the oldest is Esau. But he's struggling to understand that God has a plan for Jacob and God has a plan for Esau. And just like Abraham years earlier had tried to make Eleazar his servant, a descendant. Just like Abraham took Hagar and had a son through her. Abraham was struggling to pass down his faith. He was struggling to walk by faith. So now Isaac, just like his father, instead of trusting God, tries to have his own plan because he has a soft spot for Esau. And ultimately, he's not trusting God. You know, one of the best ways that we can pass down our faith in God and our awe of God to our kids is to rest in the plans that God has for them. When we interfere with God's working in our kids' lives, we get in the way of what He is seeking to do with our kids. We try to make things happen a certain way when we should be trusting God. Believe that God is pursuing your kids and wait for Him to unfold those plans. We get so caught up as fathers with what we can't do and what we can't know, and we forget to do what we could do and what we do know. Pass on the word, pass on faith, pass on songs of awe, pass on reverence for God. And that means staying connected and in touch with your kids. Somehow Isaac here is just out of touch. He's lost an understanding. Fathers, I'm going to say mothers too, what are you doing to teach your kids God's word? Memorization, family devotions, family worship, whatever it takes, just do it. So a couple of months ago, I had a great opportunity to go out of state for a couple of days with one of our guys here at church, one of our deacons. The purpose of the trip was to help out at an event that raises funds for the families of our military men and women. Now, this event took place on an outdoor gun range. It was a huge outdoor gun range, many acres. And I'm just going to say, I got to shoot a lot of cool guns that day. It was amazing. It was an absolute blast. But I have to tell you, what fascinated me most was that there were quite a few active and retired military special force members. We got to talk to quite a few of them. I could probably name the units that some of them were in. And these are the upper tier of our military today. They've seen a lot of combat. Some of them have been through many overseas deployment. One guy had been deployed 13 or 14 times, and he was just about to be sent out again. They're breaching doors, close quarters combat. In fact, they say that is one of the most scary, terrifying things that anyone can do on the planet. And that is break through a door, go into a building, you don't know the threat, and you're trying to protect civilians, you're trying to make sure that they're taken care of, and deal with the bad guys. So hearing about their work was eye-opening. It was amazing. They had a lot of amazing stories. But you know, the thing that I remember the most is hearing these guys talk about how hard it was for them to get back into their families after a deployment, to stay connected to their families. When they come home from deployment, they try to re-enter their homes, family lives, kids' lives, married life, and it's very difficult. And I'll never forget what one of these special forces operators said, and here's what it is. He said, the hardest door to breach is the one into your own home. Let that sink in. I thought of that when it comes to special forces, but I also thought of that for every man. It's easy for us to get disconnected because we're busy and we're doing all kinds of work, and we've got to provide and we've got to do all these things. And when something breaks in the home, we've got to figure out how to fix it. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. And then we have to come up with time and energy and time. T-I-M-E, time. You can't replace it. Time. To sit and listen. And you know that at times, they don't want to talk, but you're trying to give them the time. So I thought of that when it comes to men in general. It's easy for us to get disconnected, to lose touch. I think Isaac has lost touch here, whether it be after a long day of work or a period of exceptional busyness. So let me give you a little method here, guys. And I've been using this for quite a while now, ever since listening to these guys for a couple of months. Breach the door into your own home. Now, here's how I use this. I use this on my way home from work. For me, I find that on my way home from work, I have got to get my mind off of the work. Get ready, prepare to walk through that front door. And I just call this, for me, I just call it the pie method. I have to have acrostics to remember stuff. P means prepare. Literally on my way home, I put what's on my mind. I literally take it and I put it in the back. It's not that it's unimportant, but my family is more important. And I prepare by envisioning, what am I going to do when I walk through the door? What am I going to say when I walk through the door? And I try to prepare. Tell them one good thing that happened during my day. Something funny that happened during the day. Nothing negative. maybe a blessing that I saw God give that day. Secondly, the eye. I identify. As I open the door, I try to identify, who do I see? Literally, do you realize how many times we as families just walk past each other? Just walk in and, hey, how you doing? Just keep on walking to the refrigerator. That's me. Literally identify. Look at them. This is my son. This is my daughter. This is my wife. And then E, engage. Literally say something to them. Give them a hug. Don't just say hi and walk by, but literally talk to them meaningfully, even if it's brief, but it is personal. Now you say, well, this is not going to pass on your faith and awe of God. You might be surprised this is the beginning. Because we just lose track of what's going on in each other's lives. I would suggest, guys, the challenge, if there's one takeaway for you today, just try this for just 1 week. Just 1 week. Might not be on your way home from work. It might be right before bed. It might be when you get up in the morning. Try the pie method. Prepare, identify, and engage. I believe it'll help you stay in touch so that you can pass down your faith. Somewhere Isaac has lost touch with Jacob. Isaac has lost touch with his wife. You know how, I don't know how this could have gone down, but I do think if he had trusted God and said, you know what, Rebecca, we've got a problem here. Obviously God has told us Jacob is going to rule over Esau. How's Esau going to feel? How are we going to do this? How is God going to unfold it? So the first blessing that we as fathers can pass down is our faith and awe in God. In just very practical ways. As men, we just need action items. Now let me show you the second blessing. The second best blessing that I see at play here in Genesis 27. Yes, Isaac is passing down the blessings of wealth and position in the home. But he's not necessarily passing down his faith. He's not necessarily passing down his awe of God. That comes later for Jacob. But let me show you the next blessing, the blessing of training in self-control. One of the best things that a father can pass on and teach and model is self-control. Sadly, men are often known today for lack of self-control, driven by lusts and impulses and sheer selfishness if we're not careful. And God is calling us men who know Christ to something higher. It's a lifelong battle for men to be self-controlled, which means spirit-controlled. To fight and win the battle against temptation and to pass that on to our own children. You know, how many children come into this world with self-control? Yeah. And yet, I think that's one of the things that is needed the most, and yet we kind of sometimes feed it. Because we want to please our kids. But the ability to resist temptation, the ability to have self-control and to pull out of what we feel like doing and to do what we know God wants us to do. Now, both Jacob and Esau lack self-control. I think you've already seen it, but let me connect the dots just a little bit. Esau throws away his birthright for a bowl of stew because he cannot control himself. Then he goes out and he marries two Canaanite women. We see that later in the text. Because what? He just felt like marrying Canaanite women. He didn't stop and say, does God want me to be marrying? I'm a descendant of Abraham. Jacob cannot control his deception. He wants the blessing so much that he will do anything to get it. And that lack of self-control causes a tremendous amount of chaos. And Isaac desperately needed to be connected and in touch with his kids and training them. And at the first sight of even the bowl of stew. Hey, guys, what are we doing here? What are you doing selling your birthright? What are you doing trying to get your brother's birthright? God has a plan for you guys. It's the same today. Every child is born with a lack of self-restraint. What do? You wake up in the morning and you say, I don't feel like going to work today, so I'm just going to call in sick. What do? We say, well, I just don't feel like waiting till we get married to have sex, so I'll just go on ahead. Well, you know, I don't love my husband anymore or my wife anymore, so God wants me happy, so I'll just get a divorce and so I can be happy. You know, this whole Christian life thing, spending time in God's word and prayer, it's a whole lot of work. I just don't feel like it. Do you see how in our everyday lives, self-control is an absolute essential? And what's left behind if we don't learn this is broken lives and broken families and distance from God. And so you understand what happens when a person simply lives their life based on how they feel in the moment. That is a poor way to live. You know, I find it interesting. I did a little looking in Proverbs as I was studying here. And I find it interesting that you have Proverbs, 31 chapters, chock full of wisdom for life. It is how to handle a spouse, how to handle a job, it's how to handle money, it's how to handle relationships, it's how to relate to God. It's full of wisdom for life, practical wisdom. But do you know what Proverbs begins with? After the intro, when you get down to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, listen to what it says. My son, hear the instruction of your father. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. They lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. Proverbs 1 begins before all this practical life wisdom saying, learn to resist temptation. Where do you learn that? From your father. So the passage, if you look at Proverbs 1, it's saying, first of all, that fathers need to teach their children not just that they should resist temptation, but how to resist temptation. They're being enticed, Proverbs 1:10 says. There's this heavy peer pressure. They have their buddies saying, hey, let's go do this. Let's go make a little extra money over here. Our kids face this all the time. We call it peer pressure. You know what? It's just pressure. It's just good old-fashioned temptation. Parents face it, kids face it, we all face it. Now, usually in our lives, it's a little more subtle than just, hey, let's go rob somebody. Alcohol, drugs, theft, cheating, lying, sexual pressure, violence, aimlessness, the list goes on. And fathers and mothers, we have to leave a legacy of self-control. Men, we have to model this. In the Proverbs 1, we're told that he models it. Did you know that a number of years ago, I went to a pastor's conference. It's been some time ago, and there was a speaker there who had done a lot of work on the subject of marriage and family living. And he found out that often when fathers fall in areas of weakness, like infidelity, one for example, their son will have to be on extra guard in that very area because they have a father who has modeled a lack of self-restraint. Don't tell me that dads don't have an influence. Remember that. When you hear and when you try to share something with your kids and it's like, they don't listen to me anyway. Whatever. Listen, do not check out. Kids learn by the discipline that they see in their fathers. When they see a dad who gets up in the morning and doesn't feel like going to work, but he goes to work. And the good things that come out of that. If they see a father explode in rage against other people and being rude to their wives, guess how our kids are going to be? But when they see a father positively on the side that says, you know, when I mess up, I go make it right. Try to be in the Word. Try to lead in family worship. Self-restraint. Now, Proverbs 1 also says, it doesn't say just model it, it says instruct them in self-control. That's what we see in Proverbs 1, verse 15. My son, do not walk with them. Do not enter into that temptation. That's verbal instruction. He's modeling it, and he's instructing it verbally. And then, the last way he shows how to resist temptation and trains in self-control in Proverbs 1, he shows them what happens when they aren't self-controlled. That's why he says in verses 17 through 19, he says, you know, those guys that you think are amazing and so cool and they're going to go and they're going to get involved in this temptation and they're going to get all this money, hey, they're laying a net for themselves. Part of self-restraint is helping our kids think through the consequences. If you drive 100 miles per hour on a road that has a speed limit of 25 miles an hour, you might die. You might lose your license. You lose your license, you might lose your job. You lose your job, you might lose the money that you need to live. Thinking through the consequences, giving them foresight. Proverbs 1:17 says that when you have your children walk through the consequences, you're uncovering the trap that is about to catch them. The blessing and training in self-control. Somewhere Jacob and Esau just did not get it. They had certain penchants, certain weaknesses, certain areas, things that pushed their buttons. And Isaac was at a point where he needed to correct and he needed to instruct. Now, in all fairness to Isaac, the text is pretty slim in his parenting. Maybe some of those things were going on. Teaching our kids self-control. That there are things more important than getting what I want in the moment. You know, a number of years ago in the state of Georgia, something happened that I think illustrates the teaching of self-restraint. The Rockdale High School Bulldogs overcame a huge deficit in a basketball game. It was the championship game. They came back and they won. Everyone was proud of their team. Their coach, Cleveland Stoud, everyone was singing his praises. But a few days later, after the game, Coach Stoud was watching the game film. And he noticed that for 45 seconds, nobody else had seen it, but as he's watching the game, he sees for 45 seconds, there's one ineligible player on the court, one of his guys. That player didn't do hardly anything, didn't make any baskets, didn't really enable anything, didn't assist. But he's faced with a dilemma. What should he do? He calls the Georgia High School Association and he reports the violation. And you know what happens? The school ends up losing their title. Somebody asked him about it later at a press conference. Listen to what he said. Some people have said that we should have kept quiet about it, that it was just 45 seconds and that the player wasn't really an impact player. But you've got to do what's honest and right. I told my team that people forget scores of basketball games, but they don't ever forget what you're made of. Self-control. Train. Teach. I guarantee that the guys on that team remember Coach Stoud. They might not have liked him very much at the time, but I'm sure when things were difficult, they thought back to Coach Stoud. So those are the things that we can pass on to our sons, to our daughters. There's no true replacement for what fathers and men can do, just like there is no true replacement for what mothers and women can do when we are operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. By using God's strength, men, let's pass on these two blessings. The blessing of faith and awe in God. The blessing of training and self-control. Remember, stay connected with your family. Prepare. Identify. Engage. Now, what I would like for us to do is I'd like to have all of our men stand up. Father, men stand up. Would you? I want to pray for you. May our church be known that we have men who love the Lord and who understand what it is to be a man. And listen, guys, you may have failed. Guess what? We all have. And that's why we have the grace of Christ to get up and to walk in faith. So I want to pray for you guys. Think of your families. Think of those that you influence as we pray together. Our Father, you have chosen to reveal yourself as our Heavenly Father. You could have revealed yourself as many other things, but you revealed yourself as a father. And so we cry out to you, and we thank you. We thank you for your fatherhood. We thank you for the fatherhood of our earthly fathers, some who are with us and some who have gone on. Father, I pray for these men that whatever has gone on in the past, that they would put that in the past, good and bad. And that they would take today as a new day, knowing that their kids and their families and guys who aren't fathers, that they know that this society needs what men can bring, godly men. Lord, for fathers whose relationships with their wives and with their kids that are strained, I pray that you'd repair those, build trust. And I pray that you'd help our guys to look up and see the needs and meet those needs by the power of the Spirit. Father, if there are any here today who don't know Christ, that they would enter into that relationship by faith. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Thank you, men. You can be seated.
Let's stand together. Sing about the love that remains Christ specifically for us. Let's sing.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, this one thing remains. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the constant in the trial and the change, this one thing remains. Love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, your love, and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. I never ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. Love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, your love. In death and life, I'm confident, covered by the power of your great love. My death, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, your love.
Thank you. You may be seated. I want to give you a couple of announcements, and then, John, do we have the video up? Okay. So I'm going to give you a couple of announcements, and then we're going to give a closing video for fathers. I want to mention a couple of things for prayer. This coming week, we have soccer camp. We're excited about that. Thank you, by the way, for your great response. We've had a lot sign up to help. We're looking forward to it. I think we have over 80 kids signed up so far. And looking forward to this week. So this is a great opportunity. Please pray for us as we have soccer camp Monday through Thursday. If you need more details, take a look at the bulletin. You also can go on to our website, get details there as well if you know someone who would like to sign up. Be aware also of the VBS needs in your bulletin. We have quite a few things going on with that on the right-hand side of your bulletin. That will keep you up to date. And the summer schedule as well, keep that in your mind, the calendar. If you don't have a calendar of what's happening on Wednesday nights and various times, please check with our office, and they'll give you those details. So a couple of other things for prayer. I just got word from Alaska, our team up in Alaska. Exciting things are happening. A number of kids have gotten saved this last week, and so we're excited about that. That was their first week of camp, and so that's just great to see. Also, be in prayer for the Barguses as they travel to the IFCA convention. They have quite a few miles to travel, and just be in prayer for them as they leave tomorrow. Just a busy time. Need God's strength and health and protection as well. The last item I want to mention is right there under kind of that middle section. Would you pull out your bulletin and take a look at that? It's really got a lot of detail in it. I'm not going to read it all, but I really do want you to take a look, if you would. It is about a couple of meetings that we're planning next Sunday night. Is an informational meeting, so that's June 26th on Sunday evening after the service, to discuss a proposed recommendation from the JBC board. As most of you know, we are needing space here at our church, and we're talking about the possibility of adding on some space. And so we have a proposal coming up this next Sunday night. We're not going to vote on it, but what we're doing is presenting that to you, giving you about a week to think about it. And if you have questions during that time, you can check with Greg Chansky or Tim Jose and just ask those questions and get up to date. Then we're going to follow that up with a meeting on July 10th to vote on the proposal. And so be aware of that, kind of what we're planning. So you've got some time to think about it, some time to ask questions, and then we'll come in on that July 10th meeting and vote on that, Lord willing. So be aware of that and up to date. A lot of other things in the bulletin that you can get connected with. So what we're going to do is we're going to have John show this video, and as soon as it's done, you can just stand up and head out to your life groups. Thank you for coming, and let's check out the video.
Dads, thank you for all the goodness you've brought to our lives, for guiding us with wisdom and truth when we insisted we knew it all, pointing out the right path even as we were taking a sharp right turn, showing us to love God and love others while we were acting wholly unlovable, chasing after us and walking us all the way home. Your compassion-filled heart and your merciful ways, your insistence that we don't have to be like everyone else, surely made us into the people we are today. Today, we want to honor you by thanking you for all you've done. Thank you for all the time in the practice fields. Thank you for all the long talks into the night. Thank you for not giving up on us when everyone else had. Thank you for believing in us far past what we could see in ourselves. If we're only able to visit you today in our memories, we know that what you gave to us still lives on. It's what we're able to give away now to those we love. It's a gift that is everlasting and valuable. And for those of us who sit here today without a father's love to remember, without all the things that should have been, we take the time to thank God, who's a father to the fatherless, who gathers those left behind as his own children. Happy Father's Day, and thank you for being our dad.